Welcome to the DBS Films Podcast, a behind-the-scenes look into making indie films. Learn from DBS Films about their process, tips, and fun stories that all come with making multiple movies a reality.
Hey everybody, welcome to DBS Films Podcast. My name is Kellen. With me as always is my brother Brennan. Together we make movies with the DBS Films. Today's episode we're going into part two of our tips on screenwriting in 2023. First episode we really kind of highlighted what our overall feelings and tips on the screenwriting processes. In this episode we're really going to try and give you guys an idea of how you can potentially develop your career as a screenwriter, as well as we might have some, you know, advice and information that might not be as ideal. So before you listen to this, be sure to take a look at our Discord channel online, because that's a place to be. We make movies for our fans with our fans. So if you ever want to be part of the process, if you wanted to potentially be in the writer's room for us, you can take a look at and join our Discord channel in order to go ahead and be part of the fun and the action. So, you know, as I kind of mentioned, I think this might be a little bit of a downer episode for some screenwriters out there, because I really kind of want to give our impression of screenwriting in the industry and kind of how things are going as the whole. There's a lot of different things that are coming up. One of the big ones is we are looking at a looming writer's strike. So we'll kind of get into the methodology there. But I think the first place I want to start off with is, of all of the areas that is getting squeezed, I really do believe that screenwriting is one of the ones that is really feeling the pressure. Back in the day, you would write a script, you would get a bunch of residuals, you would get those residuals, you could build a career. And as the streaming platforms have been involved, as you know, more and more of the margins have been compressed, as things have gotten easier, I do believe, and again, you know, I'm not a screenwriter in this industry, but I do believe it's getting harder and harder. There are smaller and smaller writers' rooms, there are less episodes. There's more chaos when it comes to these writers' rooms, in the sense of, you know, you might be on hey, guess what? You're on season two, and then Netflix comes out of nowhere and they delete, you know, and they cancel that season. So then you're up in the air there. I just, unfortunately, what we're seeing with Hollywood, as the earnings and the margins have been compressing, a lot of the crews are feeling the pressure. And, you know, we've mentioned this before. While Hollywood does have money, they like to keep it for those executives and for the top tier people. So I think there is just a lot of compression to being a screenwriter. And that's kind of the first thing I wanted to highlight, is I feel like it is getting harder and harder to make a living as a screenwriter.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think when the streaming platforms took over, they kind of really squeezed and they kind of nickel and dimed the screenwriters down. The residuals are not there anymore. You know, they can replace the writers very, very quickly. They don't have as much power as they used to. And TV used to be king for the writers. They used to be pretty much right up there next to the producers, where the directors just kind of come in for hire. But the streaming platforms kind of took away all this kind of stuff. And this is what this looming strike is going to be, is how are these writers going to get, you know, this income that they deserve from these streaming platforms, who with their just their deals and their kind of accounting kind of squeeze them out, and they're doing the same work, they're just not getting the same pay rates. So it's going to be interesting to see how it is. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a pretty bloody standoff, because you have all these writers who are asking for more money from Netflix and these streaming platforms in the middle of a recession. Netflix and everyone else is cutting back. Even Tubi is going to have a hard time, because advertising, ads is how they make their money, and that's dropping off a cliff as well. So I think you have, you know, one corner writers who want more money, and in another corner, streamers who just don't have that money. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. But I also think the biggest thing is you're seeing a lot of rise of just one man showrunners. So before, writers on a lot of television shows, a lot of movies, there are large writer rooms. So there's a lot of writers working on one project. And I think the rise of just the one person showrunner, who maybe have like three or four writers in the room, you know, has made it a lot harder to get your feet in the door for a lot of these projects. And I think that's kind of hurt the ability of, you know, writers to actually be involved in the process and kind of work their way up. So I think it's definitely been twofold. But, you know, I think that if you can write good screenplays, if you can make good scripts, there will always be a place for you. And it's sort of like the filmmaking stuff on the indie front, where, you know, everything is consolidated to the point where it is a little bit harder now. You got a lot of people who are making, you know, decent content, but you know, the cream rises to the top. You really have to be able to stand out. You really have to be able to do, you know, make these really good screenplays and really perform well. And I think there'll always be a seat for you. But if you're going to go in there and, you know, you're going to, if you don't have the best stories or, you know, the best ideas, or you're just beginning, I definitely think it's a little bit of a harder time right now, just because there's a lot of competition, the strike's looming large, and, you know, you have these giant streaming platforms who are just, you know, they're looking at how many talented people they have, and, you know, there's a lot of them, and there's only so many slots for writers.
I mean, that's really going to be the issue is, you know, as it gets condensed, it's really going to be one or two people. I'm glad you brought up showrunners, because that's basically what I was going to mention next is, you know, you're looking at these people who can do much more than just writing. They're putting the whole thing together. They're very involved in the production process. They're executive producers a lot of the time. So it's almost kind of when you used to have, you know, maybe a group of 20, now you have a group of three. And also, you know, you have them remotely via Zoom or whatnot. So one person could be, you know, essentially on three or four different shows, and if they're really good, they're the cream of the crop. Well, Netflix or Tubi or whoever it might be who's producing this is simply going to say, hey, here's six different shows. Instead of having 20 people write on each one, you're going to be writing on, you know, six of these. So there's a big compression there. One of the things when we were going into the film school methodology element of it, in the sense of, is it good to go to film school or not, writing was actually one that we were a bit hesitant on. Now, again, we always say that screenwriting or that film school is mainly used for networking, not learning. So you can still network there, but that is one where, you know, it's not a technical skill like cinematography or editing where you need to get your hands on the software. It's really just writing. And I mean, formatting is done instantly in software online. So I think that is something, understanding your earning potential and understanding that is one of the difficulties. I think realistically, to anyone who wants to be a writer out there, understand you have to work two jobs. I mean, just right off the bat. And is that a bad thing? No, we both have full-time jobs that we're doing right now, and we're making movies. So that is just the process of how it goes. Understand your earning potential going into it, and understand it's really not as, you know, crystal clear for it. With that being said, I think the second thing and the biggest thing you should look at doing is diversifying your talents. It's really something nowadays, filmmaking has never been easier. And I think even if you have no intention of being a filmmaker, if you still write something, film it and edit it, it's going to make you a better writer. And if you can add certain things to your resume, that makes you more important in the sense of what you can actually do and execute on. And I think a lot of times, you know, when we look at actors, we typically work with actors that do makeup and are actors, that do writing and are actors. It allows you to have more. You know, if you look at something like The Office, look at all of those writers who are actors and look at how they've developed from that. So I think you want to look at making yourself more important in the sense of what you can do. If you're just a writer, you will be able to be eliminated as a writer. But if you're, you know, like a BJ Novak or just anyone who's been able to start off as a writer, but then they were able to bring the character to life right away, you now have way more importance. And think about that. Now you're setting yourself to be a showrunner, because if you're an actor, if you're a lead there, that's how you basically, you know, can scale up nowadays, is doing more than just one thing.
Yeah, I would say if you're a writer, I would take acting classes. And you don't need to want to become an actor, but I think just having the perspective of the actor's mind when you're writing will just make your scripts that much better. And if you're absolutely terrified of acting, then I would say learn how to edit. I think screenwriting and editing are very much linked, probably more so than being a writer and an actor, because I'm writing these scripts with my idea in mind of how I'm going to edit this movie. And that is extremely powerful, because it's cutting down on the editing time, and it's also giving you more control over the movie. The way that our scripts are written, I could have somebody else completely go in there and direct them, and I get a very similar product, because, you know, the cut points are in there, the montages are in there, how the scenes play out are in there. There's only so many ways that you can actually do this. So it's more of a television script, but I do that because we don't have a lot of time on set. So we have to go very, very quickly. We want to make sure everybody's on the same page as quickly as possible. But I've only gotten to that point because I edit these movies as well. So I could really take, you know, the editing option and, you know, compare it to the screenwriting process, especially if you're indie, you're going to save yourself a lot of time because most indie films die in the post-production room. But if you write yourself a screenplay that's easy to edit, it's much easier to get it through the post-production room. With Into the Forest, the one that we're about to finish up, we got this one done in about 90 days. And one of the reasons we did that was because, you know, I wrote it to be easy to edit. The Roger project's going to be even easier to edit. It's going to be a little bit chaotic just because we, you know, that's what the intention was going into it, was we're just going to shoot a lot of stuff and kind of figure out how to do it. But for the most part, the structure of that whole movie flows very, very easily. It'll be very easy to edit as long as we don't have any, you know, massive pickups to do. But I think that the disconnect from being a writer and to having experience editing your movies is really the number one reason why I think a lot of indie productions actually fail and don't get uploaded, is because there's just too big of a discrepancy between the start and the finish of the final product.
Yeah, I mean, that really is the case. And again, it allows you to make yourself just better on so many different levels and allows you to provide value there. So let's say you just heard that and you're like, oh man, I can't act. I don't want to edit. I don't even want to do filmmaking or anything like that. What would you do? And I would actually say what we do with our indie filmmaking. That's, you got to build a community then. If you want to solely be a writer, if you just want to write, well, then it's time for you to build a community. And what I would almost recommend is look at writing novels. You know, we see a lot where people will write a novel, they'll get attraction with that, and then the novel will be turned into a screenplay or developed from there. More so, people aren't looking for ideas, they're looking for eyeballs. That's basically what everyone's looking for now. So you can come with a great idea, that could be cool, but I don't necessarily know if anyone's going to go see it or not. So I'm going to be hesitant to do it in that sense. That being said, if you create an idea, you create a novel that has a following, that can create a community, well, then you have something you can then package. Then you have something you can say, hey, listen, you know, we have this. Here's the screenplay version of this. It's tested. It has this market. Or you can do something like, hey, we're going to go ahead and crowdfund this. You know, then you can make your own movie out of it and you can adapt your own IP. So I think that if you are, you know, hell-bent on being a writer, specifically, that could be your way to then leverage the writing, is make something that you can go ahead and publish. It's easy to publish books. You know, that's your background before filmmaking. And nowadays it's a very easy to get into vertical. It's not easy to be seen. You still got to do a lot of work and, you know, your content has to speak for itself. But if you really are focused on only being a writer, understand people aren't just looking for ideas. They're looking for those eyeballs. And if you can create a community and bring those eyeballs to someone, then you have way more bang for your buck.
Yeah, it's definitely easier than ever to get published, but the visibility on publishing is much more difficult than the visibility on movies. Video is just a much easier medium than reading is. But that being said, if you look like The Martian was a phenomenal book and it was turned into a movie, and very few people actually know that that was actually a blog. So this guy was just making 200 to 300 word entries, as in, I can't remember, it was like Matt Damon's character. I can't remember the actual name of the guy, but it was just his daily blog updates of him being stuck on Mars. And he just published them, you know, via his website. And then at the end of it, he compiled them all and made a book out of it. And then it got to become a huge movie. And he's released a couple other books that are pretty good as well. So you literally can start this entire process by just releasing short little excerpts on Twitter. I know Book Talk is super famous on, you know, TikTok. Authors, you write little stories in there and then people follow them. So you don't need to write a full novel, but you do have to do something. So, you know, whether or not you're releasing this stuff on Instagram, whether you're not releasing it on, you know, a blog or on TikTok or some kind of medium, you have to start somewhere. And you can start small and then compile it to a book and then, you know, make a screenplay out of it, and you never know who's going to see it. But it just comes down to what Kel said, is you have to do something. You have to actually go out and like make something. And I think that as you get better, as you write more scripts, the visibility increases because you're getting better. And I think that's a big thing. We see this with the movies. With each movie, we get better. With each movie, we get more followers because it's a better piece of work. You know, people are attracted to better art. But everyone's got to start somewhere. And if you have to start with 100, 200 word blog entries or Twitter entries or, you know, what else you, or whatever, you can take those 200 words and put them somewhere. It's a starting point. And that's the most important thing, is just get started.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of like we said, hand in hand, where the more you make, the bigger the community you can build. And then that will allow you to then go ahead and network with that. So speaking of, the next thing is networking. You know, I think, again, you got to look at yourself as an individual business. You know, what can you bring to the table? I think nowadays with apps and things like that, you can be more connected than ever. And, you know, it is things like the blogs. I think, you know, one of the other ones is the Backrooms. He's now being brought onto that project, and he just basically came up with the concept on a social media. I believe it was like Reddit that he posted it. So I think as a writer, you should be active in Twitter. You should be active on Reddit. You should be active in Facebook groups. You should be active as many places as you can. The other place that you can potentially be active, but it's going to have a cost to it, we don't have any experience with it, but things like the Blacklist is basically where you can get your screenplays out there as well too. It's tough for us to basically really vouch for them, like what they can or can't do. But again, if I'm considering myself a professional writer, I would 100% look at being on Twitter, being on Instagram, being on, you know, BookTok, being on Reddit. I would post things as much as I can too. There are Facebook groups. There's big Facebook groups for screenwriters. I'd be active in those ones as well too. And then I would also be active like on the Blacklist. Because here's the thing. I guarantee you, if you can build up a brand for yourself and you submit your script to Blacklist, it's going to affect them. You know, people want to get more traction in the sense of they'll look at things and say, hey, this person has a following, this person has this or whatnot. They'll kind of look at it differently. And again, it's all about using leverage. Now, will any one of these things lead to the point? It's hard to tell, but it's basically like putting a little tiny, you know, little tiny brick every time you're doing one of these things to being that screenwriter and to being that developer. So, you know, I think nowadays, just like we're utilizing Discord, just like we're utilizing TikTok, just like we're utilizing any channel that we can, you have to go out there and you have to be creating those things. You have to be telling people about that. And I think it is going to help your writing. You know what I mean? I think if you're witty on Twitter and you come up with jokes that can trend, that just shows you, you have the capability to add that into your screenwriting as well too. So not the easiest thing. And I know a lot of writers can sometimes be more introverted type people and, you know, who don't have a real taste for social media, but I have some bad news, as I was mentioning at the start of this episode. That's just how the world works nowadays. And, you know, the money's going to people who have the eyeballs, and people who have the eyeballs are the influencers. And if you can find any way to leverage these apps, it's just going to make you better.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I definitely think there is, you know, you have to get your work out there. You have to make the work and you have to put it out there. There is a ton of screenwriting festivals similar to film festivals. And I would just caution you to be careful on, you know, paying entry fees. But a lot of these you can go submit to, you know, these festivals or these competitions, and you can get free reviews of your work, and they'll grade your work and they'll tell you what you need to improve. There are, you know, author swaps online where you could trade screenplays and give each other feedback on them. Those are all very beneficial. And then there's usually five or six competitions like the Blacklist and bigger. I think the Nichols is another big screenwriting one that you can actually do. And yes, you have to pay some money for them, but if you do get a good score, I believe it's like 8 on the Blacklist, they tweet it out and they have like a massive following. And there's a lot of people who get agents and managers from the Blacklist. And there is, I think there's a horror Blacklist as well that, you know, you can submit to if you like to make horror movies. But some of these things do pan out very well for the people who, you know, can get that high score. I think the Blacklist, I think Whiplash was on the Blacklist for a little bit. There's been some pretty good stuff on there. So I definitely think that, you know, if money's an issue, the social media stuff is free. The Facebook groups are free. There's free competitions. When your stuff gets to get honed a little bit better and you feel a little bit better about it, then yes, I would say take a shot at some of the bigger screenwriting competitions, because you never know who's going to look at it. And, you know, I think that it's much easier to go on the blacklist. You know, if I was a producer looking to make another movie, I go on the blacklist and I would give a chance to, you know, a new writer, someone who's just up and coming. And if the screenplay is good and it's ready to go, you know, obviously that would be make my life a lot easier, as opposed to, you know, trying to write something or bring in a whole bunch of writers to go in a writer's room. If I got something that's fleshed out that I like, you know, it's full steam ahead. So I think, you know, it's just twofold. Is like, number one, you got to be writing the 2,500 words a day. And number two, you got to take some time when the stuff is completed to get it out there, to get feedback on it, and to, you know, try and get in front of some eyeballs that could, you know, give you that phone call or that email that could change your life.
It really is the case. I mean, unfortunately, it's all about the opportunities that you give yourself, and you just got to step up to plate consistently. So the last thing that we really kind of want to highlight, and this is something that we did ourselves, and I think it's critical for anyone trying to break into this industry, try and work to get paid in any way that you possibly can doing this trait. Now, there's a double-edged sword to this, because usually when you do stuff like this, like let's say you're a copywriter or something like that, and you're writing blogs for, you know, just different corporates, you might get a little bit of burnt out. You know, it's not the most fun material to do. And there is an element that it might, you know, pull off your passion, but it is also training you as well too. So, you know, in our sense, we have a video marketing business that we utilize to get a lot of production, a lot of videography. If you can work with, you know, business owners as actors, that's great experience. When it comes to, you know, editing, that was massive. You know, I probably have at least 2000 hours or something like that when it comes to editing within just the corporate and commercial side of things. So that is something to consider. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of potential freelance gigs out there. I will say just like anything in writing, it's getting compressed more and more and more. So it's actually getting harder for this, but consider something like that. There are people that review scripts. So being someone who reviews scripts and gets paid to review scripts can be an outlook there for you. So I think, you know, when you're looking at this, understand that you need to find certain paths to get there. And the more experience that you get, you know, if you're reviewing stuff for the Nichols and then you have a script, I think you already have more connections than someone who doesn't. So consider trying to find roles within the industry that are slightly adjacent to what you want to do that might be able to provide a path to what, you know, you need to get to.
Yeah. And you can also reach out to local film colleges. They're always, you know, up and coming directors, you know, are always looking for, you know, ideas. So you can always maybe turn some of your stuff into a short and utilize, you know, a director and a DP and a little crew to kind of, you know, get your feet wet as far as like a production goes. So there's a lot of stuff in there. But I mean, basically, you just got to start somewhere. You got to produce. I really would not worry about anything other than writing that 2,500 words a day. If you can get that done, you can do it consistently day in and day out. If you're writing, you know, 15,000 words a week, I think that eventually you do that for a year, you're going to be in a really, really good spot. And I think your odds of success are really high. And I think that, you know, yes, you want to get those eyeballs and everything. But I mean, I really don't think the hardest thing for most people is going to be just doing the work. I think that it's very tedious. Most of the writers that I talk to don't write as much as they need to. They don't like writing. It's like, if you don't like writing, if the words are not just flowing on the paper, then you're probably not in the right, you know, thing. I think people like the idea of being a writer. They like being able to travel and go to different places and just be able to work wherever they want to. But writing is difficult. It's very difficult to sit down and, you know, write coherent thoughts that are moving a plot in a specific way. It's much more difficult than a lot of other things because you're constantly creative. You know, with editing, I can kind of turn my brain off a little bit if I'm editing sound or if I'm editing color, or even if you're just kind of putting the clips together. With writing, you're constantly creating. You're constantly having to get the next plot progression, the next character involved. And I think a lot of people underestimate how difficult that is, how much energy it takes to be fully creative, you know, for that entire block of time. So it is difficult, but it's like a muscle. You know, the more you work on it, the better you'll get, and the, you know, the more stuff you'll be able to create. So, you know, my advice to you, if you're listening, is just get started somewhere and just try and get your way up, work your way up to the 2,500 words a day. And I think you're going to be, in the next year, in the next 18 months, very, very successful.
I definitely agree. That is the place to start. You know, really just be a writer, write and write and write and write. And hopefully you can find some of these tips to help you out. Again, you know, it's getting tougher out there. We don't want to demotivate anyone, but we just want to let you know what's in store for you. And I think those people, as we were mentioning, the cream will always rise to the top. So if you continue to work at it, you continue to work on your efforts, you will end up, you know, in the place that you need to be. The only way that you end up losing is when you quit. So if you keep at it, you know, who knows what will be in store for you. That's going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Again, be sure to take a look at our Discord channel online, because that is a place to be. If you ever want to be part of the movie making process with us, all you got to do is download Discord, absolutely free app. Click the link in our bio, join us there, and you can be part of DBS Films in our movies, on set, and all of that fun stuff. Till then, have a good one.